You know, as we journey to hope, sometimes that can be complicated. That can be complicated because hope is one of those things that feels good to say, but many times when we're looking for it, it's hard to find, right? And as I was kind of reading and reflecting and thinking about, you know, that journey to hope as we begin Advent, I was thinking about how easy it is to really believe we can't, or how many things get in the way. So if you don't know me, I love history. I know I try to dress cool, and that's honestly the attempt of my wife. This has nothing to do with me, but I try. But really, ultimately, I'm just really a big nerd and a geek, and I love history. And one of those things I really love is history. And so anytime we go traveling, anytime we go on vacation, I want to see at least something historical. I want to feel like I encountered something from the past. I want to learn something. And not only do I want to be there, I want to like experience, right? I want to experience history. It's fun to read about it, but it is so much different when you're standing in the place that something happened, right? It's one thing to read about the Alamo. It's another thing to go to San Antonio and stand in the middle of it, right? And see it. And so so anytime we travel, I like to go to historical sites, you know, if we can. And so one vacation, Whitney and I, we're on vacation. This is before kids and all that. We're traveling, and we're gonna go to one of the historical sites in the city. And I'm excited about that. And so we get off the public transportation, and I'm excited because I'm gonna learn something and I'm geeking out. And right there, when you get off the public transportation, there's a booth that sells the audio guide, right? And I'm like, well, that's what I want, right? I want to stand and hear what's happening in this place. I want to experience this. So I get the audio guide, and it was, you know, it's kind of expensive. It's like $20. And so I was like, oh, okay. But so we got one, right? We got one, and Whitney and I were just going to share it. So I'm excited. We get off. I go right to the booth. It's right there. I pay $20. I get this little audio device, and then I go in. But I realized that we hadn't given our tickets yet. And so we go in and we give our tickets. And then I look as we go into tickets and we walk in, and there's another audio guide. But this one looks better. And it's only $10. And it's inside the place I want to experience. And so I go over there and I look at mine and I look at that one. And I got ripped off. I was looking at it. I was like, how many tracks do I have? I was like, I got 10. I was like, this one's got 30. And then I get on my phone, I look at it, and I was like, this thing just has the free podcast that you can download on your phone on it. Like, this is just, someone just got these devices and downloaded the free thing that they offer and put it on this thing and then charged me $20. But if I went into the park after I get my ticket, I could pay $10. I get two times as more stuff. That's better. I was mad, man. The principle, right? I mean, just the principle of it. And like, Whitney is like, what's wrong? I was like, it's just the principle. Like, they treated me with disrespect, and I'm upset, and I'm mad, and I'm like frustrated. And so she's like, she very lovingly comes alongside me. She's like, well, I'll get this one. It's only $10. And so she gets this one. But like every stop we make, you know, she gets to punch in her number, and then we have to trade, right? And listen to it. And she's listening to it. And I'm like, I don't even have this one. You know, and I'm just sitting there, and then she's listening to it because it's not really easy enough for both of us to listen to. So we got to take turns. So everything's taking two times as long. And I'm reminded at every stop of the way that I got ripped off. And for, we were at this place for 3 hours. For an hour and a half of that, I don't remember anything. Because I was just mad. I was mad. Someone treated me this way, with this disrespect. They ripped me off. The principle, I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go. For an hour and a half of me being in this space, the thing that I cared about the most, and I was somewhere else. I had given up hope that this was going to be a good experience. Because I had encountered something, I had experienced something, and I was letting that dominate and shape how I was seeing the world around me. Now, how often do we let something that happens to us shape our day? How often does a good day turn to a bad day just because someone cuts you off on 45? Or 10, or wherever? How often do we let just a moment reshape how we see the world around us. How often do we so easily give up on having hope because of what we experience? It's a challenge. It's a challenge to continue to journey to hope. It always feels like the bumps in the road are bigger than what has come before or what comes after. Paul is writing, this is what scholars believe is like the earliest letter that we have of Paul's, which is kind of beautiful because this is before he starts fighting with a whole bunch of other people, right? And so like he has this tiff with, right, Jerusalem, and they work it out and they start journeying towards that. But this is kind of pre all of this moment. So this is really early on in Paul's ministry. And he has just for a little bit been with this people. He's writing to them, the Thessalonians. He's only been there for a few weeks. And so the chapters before is just like, hey, we came to you, so good to be with you and whatever. But he was only with them for a while and they moved on and he hasn't been able to return. And he names it. He says, I have had some anxiety about you because I'm afraid that you've lost what you've learned, right? I'm afraid. And so I sent Timothy and he sent Timothy and Timothy came back and he gave this good report. Like they're doing well. But it is clear in the letter, right, that he begins, and this is one of the themes of Paul, like you'll probably hear this, faith, hope, and love, right? Faith, hope, and love. And he enters into saying, hey, he kind of names those three things, faith, hope, and love. And then at this part, in this section, what he does is he says, I have heard from Timothy that you have been so living well into faith and love. At this point, this is kind of where he's kind of entered into his greeting. He's done his thing. He's done his encouragement. He's ending and he's about to begin the kind of, hey, we want to see you. And this is what the right. And he's going to journey on to something else. And he's going to say a word. But this is the moment where he's like, I have heard that you have done so well journeying in faith and in love. That even the short time we were together, what we taught you about, what does it mean to believe in Christ, to follow Christ, to be Christ for each other, that you have done it well, in faith and in love for one another. But then you kind of go on to the letter and you get the sense that there has been some loss in the community. Maybe loss of life is what we think, just from the context. And so this is a community that's experienced some suffering for following Jesus, and we're pretty sure that they've experienced some kind of death and loss. And so Paul is writing to them because he's heard that they have done well to follow Jesus, but they're having a hard time having hope for the future. They're having a hard time holding on to hope. And it's no accident that Paul doesn't name hope as part of the thing that they've been doing well in, but intentionally names the other two, faith and love. Because these are two people who have been struggling with the experience, what they've encountered. One's experienced loss and some suffering, and Paul's kind of struggling with, right? He has anxiety. He's worried about them. And so what Paul is not just bringing them back into, but also himself, I think, in writing this letter, to remember that hope is a part of what it means to follow Christ. But so many times, right, that hope feels wishy-washy, right? We leave it so quickly and it feels imbalanced. But Paul goes on to say, hope is ultimately found with a people who are willing to seek it in faith and love. to journey after it in faith and in love. What he spurs them on to is not just to switch gears and try to have hope. No, he says, live in more fully to loving each other in faith, to abound in love. And if you abound in love, you will push back that darkness that seems to bring despair, that seems to take over hope. If you continue to faithfully abound in love for one another, to continue to gather, to continue to love each one with ultimate significance and care, to seek to serve and not to put down, not to lower one another or to treat each other as objects, but to treat each other as significance. If you continue to abound in love, you will discover the deep, unshaking hope of Jesus. To journey to hope is to abound in love. To trust that this is the living God, the God who created everything, the God that came to earth to walk alongside, to journey in abundant love alongside us. It is that God over all and with us by our side. And if we follow that way of Christ, we too will find the hope that endures long suffering, that endures inconvenience, that endures overwhelming force, that endures a lack of power, that brings justice, God's will, God's peace, in ways we can't even imagine. I told you that I only went about an hour and a half into that 3-hour moment. But there was another hour and a half that I had that was very different. And it was because Whitney didn't join me in just blasting and just ranting. And she didn't join me in despair. No, she came along with me in love and just said, let's just get the other one. Let's take our time, step by step. But it took an hour and a half of someone being by my side to recognize that there was a different option on the table. And that's what Jesus does for us. Consistently, as we work and we journey to Jesus this Advent season, sometimes we've been going, and we don't realize that there's another option at the table, but Jesus has been there all along, and so has his church. How powerful it is when the church really does do that together, to abound in love with each other in the journey of life to hope. How powerful it can be to have a friend or a loved one be beside you in the midst of tragedy or something going wrong to help you get back to that hope found in love. This isn't a journey we do alone. It's a journey we do with Jesus, and it's a journey that we do with each other. There was a church I served off 1960 for a couple of years, and there was a woman there who, I mean, she was there all the time. She was a cancer survivor. She was the first to help open a pantry. She was the first to walk with the youth out into the world to meet the homeless that were coming and showing up at our door, right? She was always, and first of all, she was the first to take the young couple who was struggling with their marriage to dinner, just to be a friend, just to be alongside them. This woman was always, she was always the first to step up and be in that space. And there was a strength and a resilience to her that was something that I needed to see for myself as a young person wanting to follow Jesus. How powerful it can be, right? When the seasoned endurance of faith, the faithful, meets that youthful passion to love as Jesus. When those come together, it can do some amazing things. But she never came into a space. She wasn't the first to come into a space and be like, this is what I've been through. Let me tell you the answer. Or this is what I've been through, and dismiss, right, what they were going through to say, I've been through harder. I've survived this, right? I've survived cancer. I've been through this. She never dismissed. She always just came alongside. The resilience and the strength that she had was found in the hope that she held on to with such deep affection. But that hope was built on a journey of enduring love. That hope was built on knowing that people came alongside her in those times of trial, and it changed her perspective. That she had her hour and a half of despair, but then she found the second half because of those who came alongside. She knew that if the church was going to be a place that had hope, that it meant being a place of enduring love. As you journey to hope this Advent Christmas season, how might God be calling you to endure in love and find the light at the end? This table is the presence of God with us. It's the presence that's with us in every breath. But there is something special because Christ said, come to this table and remember that I am with you. To remember Jesus, the Jesus that walked with the sinner, with the discarded, with the oppressed, who just came alongside with love and healing and showed people a new way, a new life, a transformed world. And so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Every time you eat of this, remember me. In the same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time that you drink of this, remember me. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that it is your enduring love that is steadfast, unshakable, enduring, all-powerful. God, we pray that as we come to the table today and as we come to this place of worship, that you might instill in us that enduring love, that we might discover the bright future of hope that you have, not just for us, not just for our church, not just for our community, but the world. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on this bread and juice, that you make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in service to the world, until you come in final victory and we rest in your heavenly banquet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.